Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit. Bandwidth for the new screensavers is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com. The new screensavers is brought to you by the Ring Video Doorbell. With Ring, you can see and talk to anyone at your door from anywhere in the world using your smartphone. It's like caller ID for your house. Go to ring.com/NSS and get up to $150 off a Ring of Security kit. And by Eddie Bauer. This winter, don't let the cold hold you back from getting outdoors. Eddie Bauer's new Evertherm down jacket is unlike any other. No quilting, no cold spots. This is down. Available exclusively at Eddie Bauer stores or eddiebauer.com/evertherm. Eddie Bauer, live your adventure.
Smart speakers galore, virtual reality meets reality, and our first holiday gift guide. Live from the Twit Eastside Studios in beautiful Petaluma, it's the new Screensavers!
Greg.
We did it!
Greg.
We did it!
He says he has no visible abode. He and his wife Lisa drive around the world in an RV, but...
Nice.
I think you can hear a little Chicago. Just say, Dub Bears for me.
Dub Bears.
Dub Bears.
Chicago. There,
little Chicago.
Chicago.
Little Chicago
there
in there. Nice to have you. Hello, everybody. Time for the new Screensavers, episode 128, recorded on October 28th, 2017. I'm Leo Laporte.
I'm Jason Owl. It's
nice
good to be back.
Have you here. Can you believe we're doing a holiday gift guide?
No, I can't. It's somewhat depressing. I suppose at this point I should embrace it. I mean, it's not even Halloween yet, right? Like, this is the Halloween weekend.
Oh, I thought that was the holiday. This is a Christmas gift guide?
Yeah. Oh,
crazy. Crazy talk.
Yeah. Two months ahead of
schedule. We want to do enough. We want to do like 10 of them. So we have to start early because we want to do enough to cover every area. And of course, since Jason's the host of All About Android, you're going to pick the best Android phones in all price ranges.
A small stockpile of devices that I've played with throughout
eight or nine of them over there.
Yeah, so we'll take a look.
Also coming up, we're going to take a look at some of the smart speakers in the house. We've got a new Sonos Play 1. It's actually being out there being set up. You see, we just got it. The Echo. Look, we were looking online during our production meeting on Wednesday, and Jason said, oh, I got my invitation to buy a look. And I checked it out. Oh, I did too. And so I said, I'll take the hit. And hit it is. We also have, an Alexa device, an Echo device. We have from Amazon, we have an Echo device from Sonos. And we have a Cortana device. This is the Harman Kardon Evoke speaker.
Check this out.
Oh.
Wireless technology exists today because of Sir Jagadish Chandra Bose's foundational research in the late 1800s. He only applied for one patent in his lifetime because he believed in allowing others to expand and develop his research.
What was his name, kids? Yeah, every time you hit her.
Funny fact, most humans can't lick their own elbows. Follow-up fact, most humans will try licking their own elbows after learning
Cortana, you don't say that on a live show on Twit.tv.
Everybody's licking their elbow now. Or
now everybody's going to try.
So every time you hit her on the head, she comes up with a fun fact.
That's a little strange. Is it like a drum pad?
Did you know that a dragonfly has six legs walk?
I hadn't done
Their legs
yet.
Are mainly used for catching and holding on to prey. You know, like what arms do, but called legs.
So, I don't really get it. But,
a little bit of a sense of humor.
It is from Harman Kardon, so the speaker's better. We'll give you a full review of all three devices. More talking stuff. You did something really interesting. You went to a company just down the road a bit called Nomadic.
Oh, yeah. And I was really looking forward to it. A lot to discuss there, but it's one of those kind of, I mean, I'm sure you've talked about the Void.
Yeah, it's a VR experience.
It's a VR experience. It's not just put on the goggles. It's a whole, like, environment that's set up so that it really transforms your reality into something different. It's not just visual.
It's tactile. We'll get a tour of that. Call for help. We have a We're going to talk about the Pixel 2 XL burn-in problem.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really interested in what our caller has to say about that, because he says Google told him what's wrong. Halloween's coming up, so we will do our holiday gift guide for Christmas.
That makes sense.
And we're going to also get a full review of the Acer Mixed Reality headset Megan and I were playing with last week. Big news stories this week. Well, you got to start with Amazon Key. Not available everywhere. 37 markets. Only the markets where Amazon does its own deliveries.
37 markets, though, is not that bad when you look at the list of the metropolitan areas that this is available in. I mean, I get the feeling that they're pushing hard for this, they expect this to be at least a high demand thing. If they're not just testing it out in one or two areas, they're just going full board with 37
areas. It's not cheap because you have to buy a camera and a special Wi-Fi lock, and that's $300 of equipment.
Okay,
you have to install it, and then you're basically giving permission for the Amazon delivery. And it doesn't use UPS, FedEx, U.S. Postal Service.
Right.
It only uses the Amazon Logistics Service.
And so that's probably part of the reason why it's only 37 areas.
Right.
They also plan to expand this to, they say, thousands of local businesses via the Amazon Home Services.
So like you a can dog imagine walker.
Letting
or,
a dog walker.
I don't know what that guy's doing.
I'm assuming house cleaner or a deliverer of house cleaning products.
Something like that.
Something like that.
That makes sense. So you could just let them in. But you wouldn't have to do it because it would do it automatically. They basically have a key to your house.
Yeah.
The camera is so that when they go in, they don't go and steal your stuff and then leave.
But, right.
And I think I'd trust Amazon Logistics. Mostly the barrier to entry to me is that extra cost for the camera and the lock.
Yeah, you got to know that this is actually filling a need in your life. I mean, we hear about it a lot. You know, people complain about deliveries being dropped off on their front step.
Well, that's
and then disappearing.
Risk. That happens here in Petaluma, our little mm-hmm. town. People get their packages stolen all the time.
Yeah.
So
I mean, you see that Amazon logo on the box. Yeah. You have to imagine there are people that see that as that Amazon logo on a box on a doorstep as an opportunity. So at least this way, it allows Amazon to come into your home when you're not there. That's the weird part. But when I really think about it, I'm like, well, you know, we're used to paying people and building a relationship with people to do things in our home, be it things like walking the dog or maybe being, you know, paying a house cleaner to come in a couple of times a month.
Yeah.
We're okay with that, but I feel like the difference there is that we've built a relationship around that.
Yeah.
With Amazon and a delivery person, it's maybe a little bit different because you don't actually have any sort of relationship.
I'm sure they're bonded and there's all sorts of stuff. I don't think it's a bad idea. It's just, it's $250, not $299. It's $250. I think that's a lot for this service. But, you know, maybe you get a deal if you're Prime, or maybe Amazon will lower the price sometime. We're not eligible, I just found out. So.
Oh, it's at SF Bay Area.
Yeah, our zip code is not.
Okay.
You know, I've never seen an Amazon Logistics truck, so I think that's probably why.
Well, you can't get this yet then, I guess.
You may be able to get your pharmaceuticals that way soon. Amazon has applied for a pharmacy license, wholesale pharmacy license in many states. 12 states so far, not California, but 12 states, which means, I guess, they want to sell you your prescription medications.
And so my question on this is, how deep does this go? Do they go to the lengths to set up what's required to work with insurance companies to deal with insurance? Or are they aiming for the market of people that, you know, are paying cash? That aren't, you know, doing this through their insurance. I would imagine that would be where they would start, right? There's probably a lot less hurdles
to deal
with
that. That's an interesting question. If anybody could do it, it'd be Amazon. They're not saying, in fact, they say, they're not even saying we're planning anything. Somebody noticed that they're buying these licenses.
Right, and that's enough to send a lot of the would-be competitors into a panic mode, because when you hear that Amazon is encroaching your turf,
sure.
I mean, you don't know what the end game is there and how much potential Amazon has to completely overtake it. CVS Health, we found out this last week is in talks to acquire Aetna, and you know there's a possibility that these companies are starting to look at these possible acquisitions.
It's the biggest problem in this country, though. Is the cost of prescription drugs. If Amazon could do something about that.
Well, yes, exactly.
That would be interesting. And by the way, this is how Amazon gets rich.
Mm-hmm.
And Jeff Bezos is now, once again, the richest man in the world. After Amazon announced its quarterly earnings, its stock price went up $10 billion That's how much he got.
It's insane.
$10 billion. So he's now worth almost $94 billion. Bill Gates is 90. So the richest man in the world. And, you know, I'm not surprised. We're going to do some interviews. We've got coming up on Triangulation. We've got an interview with Scott Galloway. There are more and more people saying these companies, Amazon, Microsoft, Google, Apple, and Facebook, are so big, so dominant, so much like monopolies in their respective areas, that governments are going to start to take action, and maybe we as consumers ought to start being worried. Imagine if Amazon becomes the place you have to buy everything, and then they can make the price anything they want, right?
But when does that line get crossed? Because right now, anyone I talk to about Amazon has nothing but great things to say about
it.
Because you can buy literally everything through it.
Right.
But then when you take that to the end, you realize that everything that you ever buy is coming through one single service.
We should mention.
Yeah, I mean, that's something to be concerned about.
Vladimir Putin is widely considered to be richer because he owns Russia, but he's not included in those Forbes lists because no one knows how much Russia's worth. Did you get up at midnight on Thursday and buy an iPhone 10? I guess not. I'm guessing not.
No, I didn't get up at midnight. I think I was still up at midnight, but I did not rush
I stayed up. It was the weirdest experience because I got up. And I got, because I went to my office, so I had the Apple store on a computer on the web. I had the T-Mobile, because that's my carrier store on the computer on the web. I had my iPhone on the iOS Apple store. I had my iPad in the Apple store. And I'm refreshing.
Oh,
I'm refreshing.
Like
it's 12 o'clock midnight. Dong, 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 dong. I'm refreshing.
Just waiting for one of them. Waiting for the jackpot.
Any one of them I would have bought.
Yeah.
Lisa's lying in bed. She got up. She went to the Apple store and iPhone. She ordered it. She went back to sleep. I'm refreshing. It's 12:15. Nothing's working. I'm in the chat room saying, what's going on? Nothing's working.
You cared a little too much, Leo.
I tried too hard.
You tried too hard.
Tried too hard. Some people in the chat room just said, well, just call your carrier. And I didn't. I wish I had. Apparently, they were up late, the carriers, too.
Oh, okay.
So you could call. People got theirs from Verizon, Sprint, T-Mobile. By calling, and many of them got... The trick is you want the November 3rd, this Friday, delivery date.
Right.
It's very hard. There's a limited number of phones. Even if you got in, and as Lisa did, almost instantly, she wasn't able to get it November 3rd. She's getting hers November 10th. Now, that's because we're T-Mobile. Mm-hmm. Megan Maroney, who is Sprint, was able to get hers delivered for delivery on Friday, November 3rd. So we will have next week, we will have an iPhone 10 to look at, to play with. Mine isn't coming for a couple of weeks. Although, apparently, some people are getting notices from the Apple Store that if they had it, for instance, in April, what is it? It would be 3rd, 10th, 17th, which is mine, November 17th delivery mm-hmm. day. That they're being moved up, bumped up. Some people are being bumped up. So maybe check your mm-hmm. store. See, maybe you'll get it sooner. I don't know if it even matters. $1,149 for the 256 gig model. That's before tax.
Wow.
It's really crazy.
And
expensive.
I mean, not only that, if you have to do any sort of screen replacement.
Don't break it.
$279 to replace the screen. That's compared to $169 for the 8 Plus.
Now, if you have Apple Care Plus, you get a deductible and all that. But I think this is Apple announced this, by the way, that's how much it's going to cost. I think it's there. And they announced it right before the sales went up. So I think that's their way of saying, by the way, you might want to get Apple Care Plus when you're buying the phone. I did not. I don't. I self-insure.
Out of warranty repairs to cost around $549.
Wow. That's outrageous.
So it's like you're buying another phone at that point. Not another iPhone 10, but...
It's crazy.
Yeah.
Crazy, isn't it?
Yeah.
What a world.
What a world.
I know. I feel almost embarrassed that I got up and I ordered that phone. Apple's saying also the stores Friday, November 3rd, will have stock. They don't say how much stock. And it would be a good idea to get there early. In other words, this year, unlike other years, last few years, they're encouraging lines. They want lines.
Well, lines make the news.
Yeah.
Or at least they did. They did. But then they started petering out and then people stopped caring.
Well, I think what happened, they hired a senior vice president for retail, Angela Ahrens, and I think what she said was, let's take care of the customer first, not marketing first.
Sure.
And so for the last few years, there have been no lines. You just order online. You go pick it up that day, but you don't have to get in line. Now you have to. Let's just see. Let's see. You can't get it unlocked. Go ahead, AT&T. Let's see if we get a. What do you want, silver or black, Anthony? My treat. Yeah. 200.
Anthony is
5 to 6 weeks out
this week.
5 to 6 weeks out now.
Wow.
That is ridiculous.
That's horrible, Anthony. You're going to have to wait 5 to 6 weeks. Don't do it.
Yeah, I wouldn't. If it were my money.
dot.
Actually, in all honesty, in a way, that's good. Because what you could do is you could order it now, thinking, well, I'm not going to get it for 6 weeks.
Yeah.
But watch the reviews carefully. Because look at what we're learning about the Pixel 2s and the burn-in and things. I think it's probably not good these days to be the first on your block, especially with a completely new design.
Well, yeah, this is a completely new tangent, a completely new product direction for the iPhone. A lot of experimental stuff happening on this device.
How well does Face ID work? That's our question.
Yeah,
right?
that's a big question. Yeah.
They are using Samsung screens. Seems unlikely they'll have the same burn-in problems that Google's having. We're going to talk about that in a second, though, because we have somebody who has had some interactions, several, with Google over his burnt-in screen. We're also going to look at these new speakers. But first, a word from another IoT device, one of my favorites, the Ring Video Doorbell. You've heard us talk about it. This is the brand new Ring Video Doorbell 2. Really, HD, beautiful video from the doorbell. It's got a camera, it's got a speaker, it's got a microphone, and it's Wi-Fi enabled. So when you install the doorbell, as I did, it was easy. It took me about 45 minutes. I'm no handyman. When you install the doorbell, as I did, you pair it to your internet. And now when anybody comes to your door, even before they ring it, you'll get a notification on your phone. You could see them. You could talk to them. They ring the doorbell. You can answer it and say, hey, I'm in the shower. Leave that package. This is the solution, by the way, to package theft. You can watch your front doorstep, make sure your package is okay. And if somebody should steal it, you'll have crystal clear video to send to the police department. And if you check the news stories about the Ring Video Doorbell, more and more we're seeing people getting arrested, put in jail because their victims have video thanks to the Ring Video Doorbell. Well, now we're going to extend it even farther.
I've caught kids stealing candy out of the Halloween basket, like dumping the whole thing.
You should, for
Halloween, caught them on my Ring Video Doorbell.
Put this right in front of your door. They come up to the door, bright lights, blindingly bright lights will come on, motion sensor. The camera will turn on. You'll get a notification even if you're not home. And you can say, hey, kid, put that candy down.
One candy bar per person.
Hey, kid, I'm watching you. And even better, there's a button on your phone. If they don't run away, you can set off a 110 decibel alarm and scare them away. This is the Ring Floodlight Cam. This is the newest Ring thing, and I really enjoy it, I have to say. Right now, if you go to ring.com/NSS for the new screensavers, ring.com/NSS, we'll get a little, you know, pat in the back because they'll know that you were seeing this ad, and you will save up to $150 off their Ring of Security kits. The kits include a Ring Video Doorbell, either the current Ring or the Pro, and 1, 2, or 3 of these floodlight cams. Surround your house with these. It's convenient because they light up when you walk by, and I always like that. Mm-hmm. These will replace those existing outdoor lights. They got the wiring, and it's very simple to put those up, replace the existing outdoor lights. These are LED bulbs, so you're going to get many, like tens of thousands of hours.
No kidding.
So you don't have to worry about changing the bulb. And I love the idea of having this camera and this warning light and the siren and all that stuff. So you really know what's going on around your house. Named the Wall Street Journal's Best of CES for 2017, the Ring Video Doorbell and now the Ring Floodlight Cam. Ring.com/NSS if you'd like to learn more. Christmas is almost here, but before we do that, maybe these are some items you would want to put in your stocking. These all came this week. It's interesting. This is all of a sudden, voice assistants are the thing. They're taking over the world. And we got three new voice assistants to show you. So first of all, this is the Sonos, the newest Sonos speaker. They call it the Sonos One. All three of these, by the way, $200. So you can really compare them. The Sonos One is the first Sonos speaker to have Amazon's Echo voice services built in. And that's the only difference with this new speaker compared to the Play One. It still has the same, you know, internal. You can see a tweeter and a mid-range. I'd almost call it a sub. It sounds very, very good.
Yeah,
the quality of the music is excellent. And the Echo is built in. But I got to tell you, it's not a full Echo. It's really oriented towards playing music.
So you don't have all of the full functionality?
No,
it's
limited.
Control.
It's limited.
Okay.
It does some of the things that you'd expect an Echo to do, and some of the things not. Can I turn this up? Let me turn. It sounds great. I mean, one of the things, and I think you have Sonos at home, right?
No, I don't. I don't have Sonos. We have Google Home, and that's kind of what we use.
Sonos is a speaker company, first and foremost.
Yeah.
So I think the speaker quality is very good on this, considering its size. Of course, Sonos makes larger speakers. This is the only one with Echo built in. A couple of things I'd say. First of all, you don't need this to include echo control of your existing Sonos. And I was very pleased that Sonos did that. It's pretty good. It fills the room, don't you think?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very clear.
Sonos, all you have to do to get Sonos working with your Amazon Echo, say you have a Dot or a, you know, one of the Echo devices, is turn on the skill in your Echo app, and then when you go there, it will recognize you can search now for all your Sonos devices. All of a sudden, they become one of your home devices, and you can control them with your voice. I do this all the time. You name your Sonoses, of course. You can name groups as well, and you can. I say this all the time. Echo, listen to classic rock in the bedroom, and it will play on my Sonos speakers. I think that's a really nice feeling. And you don't need this to do that. And that's one thing. I don't know if Sonos has made that completely clear. This is merely a speaker with Echo built in.
Okay.
Not necessarily a necessary device. Although if you don't have an Echo yet, this would be maybe a good way to get into the Amazon ecosystem, because it really sounds good.
But it's still a light, if that's the right word for it, version of
that's
of
the
Amazon
only thing
Voice
that bothers me. Yeah.
Wow.
And by the way, setup is, they say easy Sonos setup. It is a little bit more than an easy Sonos. It's, it takes a little while to set up.
Well, I mean, there's a lot of multi-room happening in this space.
We're Sonos used more. To own it.
Well, yeah, exactly.
But
Sonos
not anymore.
Basically created that. And now, I mean, now they've been forced. I mean, do you feel like Sonos is kind of having to lower the cost in order to compete? Because, I mean, Google Home, less expensive. You can get a couple of those, especially with the Google Home Mini. Put those all around your house, and you've got a multi-room sound system. Well, it's not going to sound as good as the Sonos for a lot of people. Like
Sonos had to add Echo.
Yeah.
They say they will add Google Home later, and they will add
2018
Siri as well. Mm-hmm. Because here comes Siri with Apple's got its HomePod.
Yep.
Coming out.
Good song.
I actually, it's a very good song, but the Beatles will sue your ass. So.
Oh, right. Good point. Good song, also. Good point.
I'm not worried about Shostakovich, but those Beatles, they're tough. No, I'm just kidding. We could play a little bit of it. But the idea of getting voice integration into a speaker system, a whole home speaker system, I think is critical.
Yeah.
That you've got to have. And Sonos was late to the game, and I think that did hurt them. But they're here now, and they do a very good job. Google is coming along with its Google. Now they've got Google Home Mini and Google Home Max, as well as the middle range.
Yep.
That Max is going to sound probably as good as this Sonos. Mm-hmm. We'll see that in December, just as we will the Apple HomePod, which also has very good sound. This does not do all the things that the Mini and the Max and the HomePod do. For instance, the HomePod, you can have it tuned for your room. Mm-hmm. Currently, this Sonos one does not do that. Other Sonoses do, but this one doesn't for some reason. I'm not sure why. It will eventually, they say. So, you know, it's if you're getting into Sonos, if you're a single person and don't have a big house, you just want to have this in your bedroom, this is not a bad choice at $200. I think it's comparable with it's got probably better sound than any of the other Amazon devices.
Probably so.
Speaking of Amazon devices, the look is here. Wow.
This is where you see the difference of $200. I mean, both in size and capability. It's a very interesting contrast.
Yeah,
here.
I just got this yesterday. Just went, and I would at this point say it is too early to buy it. They have lots of bugs. Their iPhone app anyway crashes all the time on me. I did do a picture. You can see. I don't know. You want to see the? So the idea of the look is, you take a picture of yourself in your outfit, and actually the picture is full. You want it full length, so it's got a camera on the front of it. And all you have to do, by the way, is say Echo, take a picture. The light will flash three times. It has its built-in LED flash, so and then notice it blurs the background that you can really kind of so that you can focus on the
edges,
outfit.
But
it'll tell you the weather, and it'll tell you and you can add other outfits. And actually, I did a style check, and I don't know. Let me see if my style check has come back, because it takes a little while. No, they have not responded to my style check yet.
Wow. So you're still waiting to go out. Your dinner dinner starts
they say
in
within minutes. I took two different outfits. This is I think it's a non-starter, but this is Amazon's it's like it wants. So, you know, I don't know. You have a wife. Does she ever do this? Does she ever put on an outfit and say, Jason, what do you think?
Sure.
And then, you know, we're going to a big the Twit Christmas party. What do you think? Mm-hmm. And then say, okay, wait a minute. And then go change and try another outfit and say, what do you think of this one? You ever have her do that?
That's happened from time to time.
Yeah. And then another one, and another one, and another one. So the idea is this will let you compare two outfits. Instead of asking your poor husband, you will ask, or your wife, you will ask Amazon. They apparently will send the two outfits to Amazon, and a stylist will look at them, as well as machine learning, and they'll tell you which outfit is better. It's to replace friends, I guess, and family.
But not promptly.
Yeah.
Because, I mean,
should I try
probably about 45 minutes ago.
Should we do it? Because I already have myself in a nice... I think a jolly suit jacket. Let me just put this here and try another one. So I'm going to add a photo to compare, and then we'll just do this here.
Now, does it give you live feed of the camera?
Yeah, it does. So you although can frame it? Your phone is connected. Oh, I'm connected to a different Wi-Fi. Let me real quickly change the Wi-Fi. So you have to be on the same Wi-Fi, obviously. And what you'll do is, you'll see a live feed, so you can position yourself.
Got it.
And you'll also, and maybe that's why we've been having trouble with this, is that the Wi-Fi's, they're also confusing the Amazon. I'm amazed that John got that thing working. Let me change my Wi-Fi to the same one this one is on. Real quick.
I don't know what I expected size-wise.
I thought it'd be bigger.
Way smaller.
Came in a little box. I thought, wait a minute, that can't be it. All right, now we're on the same Wi-Fi. So here we go.
And it has some mounting hardware, so you can mount it on the wall for some reason.
Yeah. Oh, now it's seeing me. So you, if you want, there's the shot. Okay. There's the shot.
Okay.
So you want to position yourself, it says, so you can get, head to toe in the thing. And then I'm going to do the verbal thing. So if you've got an Echo at home, just hide its ears. Echo, take a picture. Okay, watch. Okay.
That was a good look, Leo.
It's a good look. Okay. So now I have two pictures in here, and I can send this picture, put this picture up here.
All right.
And which one do you like? That one? No, I think I like this one. I'm posing a little more. Okay. Now, this will send which outfit looks better on you.
We'll consider fit, color, styling, and current trends.
Yeah, and I think they use a human, the last I read, although Amazon's not a little kid.
You've already compared these, Leo.
Oh, well, let's see my results.
Oh, it had it in
it
there.
It says,
wear
the suit. The combination of pieces is more flattering. I think everybody would agree. That's a good choice, right? And then it crashed. So.
Well, there you go.
As far as
it's
I know,
like
that's the current functioning of it. You'll also have then what you wore every day. So you could go back. In TV they do that. They'll have a stylist take a picture of you so that you know what you wore and should put a date on it. They show the time, your latest look. And that way you don't repeat, right? You can have multiple users of it. This is all the help stuff. And you can still, it's still an Echo, although it's not a very good Echo. The speaker is tiny on it.
The speaker is really not very good.
Yeah.
But I mean, that's just because it's so small. I mean, the device itself is so small.
Yeah. And I could barely hear it.
Yeah.
And by the way, there's no line out or anything. So that's the speaker. It's really not designed for anything but to kind of beeps and boops. And okay, I got your picture. You can have other people in the household can use it. You can share your Echo look with another person in your household, it says. Here's the video. And then I guess down the road, Amazon will probably, I'm guessing, add shopping to this, right? And say, well, you seem to, look good in this look. You like this look. You've worn it four times in the last year. Maybe you'd want to buy something similar. Here's some shopping suggestions. I think that's the goal. I am not the natural market for this. But
I'm not sure I am either.
Yeah, even if you were,
from the first time I heard of this product, I knew it was not for me.
Even if you were, it's hard to recommend it at $200. It is an interesting idea. Let's put it that way.
$200 for what seems to be an experiment at this point, too.
But
Amazon's throwing a lot of stuff at the wall right now. This was kind of the earliest indication of that, right? Like in the past month, we heard a bunch of different announcements that came from Amazon one day of new Echo products, all kind of doing very interesting different things, some of them more obvious than others. But this was the first one, and it had been announced months prior. That was really like, hey, that Echo that you thought you knew what to expect. Here's a different take on it completely.
So far, I love the Echo Show. That's the one with the 7-inch speaker.
Yeah.
It's got actually very good speakers.
Oh, the screen.
A 7-inch screen, I'm sorry. Yeah. And it has very good speakers. And I find the screen somewhat useful. You can ask for music. It'll give you a choice, and you can pick it up with the touch screen and so forth. So that one's useful. I have ordered, it hasn't come yet, the Echo Spot. It's not yet released. It says December 19th. This
That's
is
the alarm clock.
Very odd product because it is supposedly an alarm clock to go on your bedside table, but it has a camera in it.
And, it's an alarm clock for video conference
and
calls.
Yeah, notice that's what they're pitching is that you would make phone calls with it.
Good morning.
I don't know if anybody, anybody who wants to roll out of bed and make a phone call, you know, right as they wake up. But it'll do all the other things the show will do. And I have to say, I do like having, so there's, for instance, a Ring video doorbell. I can see the front door with my Echo Show. So I do like a screen and an Echo. I ordered it. It's $129.99. It'll be an interesting product. I don't know if Lisa let me use it. Look, it even has like a clock face.
Yeah.
I don't know if she'll let me put that next to the bed, though. So
looks nice like that, though.
I think that's really interesting. I'm questioning the use of a camera,
right.
But
yeah,
maybe it, on your desk, you know.
Yeah.
This is the final of the three. This is also $199, and this is a very interesting product. This is from Harman Kardon. They're a well-known speaker manufacturer,
absolutely,
currently owned by Samsung, but Harman Kardon speakers are excellent. And this device uses a new voice assistant on the scene, the Microsoft's Cortana. Mm-hmm. And it does everything a Cortana will do. In fact, you would like this if you were really living in the Microsoft space. For instance, hey, Cortana, add an appointment to my calendar, Jason Howell and Root Canal, 3 p.m. Sunday.
Come on. How'd you know?
Sure. I can add Jason Howell and Root Canal to your calendar for tomorrow at 3 p.m. Is that right?
Yes.
First of all, I won't be at that appointment. I'm sorry to disappoint you.
No, I'm getting Root Canal from you.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I thought you were scheduling me for a Root Canal.
Just a weird coincidence. My dentist's name is Jason Howell.
Did you know that? Very strange. Yeah. I didn't know that. But I have to say, the sound on that thing is pretty remarkable.
That's what you'd expect because it's Harman Kardon, right? So it is, of all the speakers, the best. It has, you know, Cortana is, you know, it's not quite as capable as Amazon or even especially as Google. Google Assistant is really quite capable. But it's pretty good. And if you live in the ecosystem, that added that to the Outlook calendar. It does a good job. It's a great speaker. You can listen to music. Although when I set up the Invoke, it only gave me three choices, a premium Spotify, TuneIn, or what was the third? It was another iHeartRadio. And it looked like, and maybe I've done it wrong, I can only choose one of the three. I have to go back and see if I can choose some other ones.
Oh, okay.
But right now it's set up for TuneIn. So if I listen to music, I'll be listening it through TuneIn. They need to work on that. It's Skype is built in, which means you can make Skype calls, audio calls.
What about Bluetooth connectivity? It doesn't look like there's any sort of auxiliary in. Like,
no.
That speaker screams. Like,
that's the speaker.
It's great. You want to be able to use that speaker to its, you know, to its fullest. There's no auxiliary. And
I'm not sure
I don't know
if it
about Bluetooth.
Bluetooth. That's a very very good question.
Fill the gaps if you can only
have to look into that. Does it say
service?
Bluetooth? Yeah. So
Bluetooth
I can but what that probably means, you see, this is a question. Some Bluetooth means merely that your phone will work with it.
Right.
Some Bluetooth means, does it go back a little bit, Anthony? Is it A2DP? So it looks like you can play music
because it's supported audio formats.
Okay.
Okay.
It sounds like you can play music to it, not from it.
Right.
So it's a speaker that you can play music to.
Okay.
And, it has this feature, as we showed earlier. You can tap it, and it will give you a random...
The official mascot of the University of California, Santa Cruz, is the banana slug. Go slugs!
So one thing I really hate in virtual assistants is personality.
Meanwhile, they're all working towards making them super personable.
It's not... It's well, it wouldn't be bad if they had a good personality.
Yeah.
But this is like not a good personality, I guess. Anyway,
really
that's
wants to be funny.
$199. It's called the Invoke. It's unique. It's the first one using Cortana, and it's unique in that respect. It's not bad. It's very comparable to the others. If you're really invested in the Microsoft ecosystem, this might be a very good choice.
Design feels a little first gen Echo.
It's very masculine, right? Yeah. It's kind of there's a silver version as well, but it's not a decorator really.
A lot
it's,
of them are kind of going you know a little bit softer materials. Yeah. Some of the
none of these like is particularly good looking.
No.
I would say
no,
this,
I would agree.
You're going to hide the Echo in your Amazon in your closet. The Sonos has the Sonos look.
Yeah,
all the Sonos
looks like
look pretty much like that. They come in white as well.
Right.
So of the three, you know, really it comes down to what ecosystem you're in. I can't at this point recommend the look, even if you're a fashionista. It's really more a curiosity than anything else. If you live in the Microsoft ecosystem, actually, this is surprisingly good. Sounds great. And, of course, if you have a Sonos, you don't need this new Sonos one. You can add Amazon Echo features to your existing Sonos with an update.
And soon more than that. So, I mean, that's definitely a selling point of the Sonos is that they have Assistant and Siri support.
That's right.
Supposedly coming in 2018.
So took them a while to get this done, so I wouldn't hold my breath. By the way, Harman Kardon does make other devices that work with the other assistants, but this one is just going to be for Cortana for the time being.
Got it.
So there you go. I guess I'm wearing the wrong outfit.
See, we needed to get the answer before the show, Leo.
I knew that the other outfit was more classic and more, you know, I wouldn't wear this in public probably, but that's the problem is it's not considering what the event's going to be or any of that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So,
that's a good point.
You still have to judge your own outfits. We got to visit Nomadic. Actually, Jason got to.
I did.
And I think this sounds so cool. You got to try out the experience down there.
Yeah, and I don't know. I've been really looking forward to the chance to be able to check out one of these things. It's a facility that's built entirely around VR, so it's meant to kind of mix what you get when you put on the VR goggles. That takes you a certain distance as far as convincing your mind, convincing your body that you're transported somewhere else. But then you mix that with a space that has all these tactile things, and you're actually walking through. I mean, it's this huge space. Walking through that kind of married with what you're seeing, it completely tricks your brain.
Let's take a look.
You'd think I'd never put on a backpack before.
How's that feel?
Good.
All right.
The green light just came on. That's your cue to enter the office.
Here we go. Let's see here. Okay.
Whoa.
I need you to check the security monitor above the desk. Something's going down. Get the gun in the filing cabinet next to the desk.
That is cool. I want some pizza, but not that pizza. Okay.
Yeah, it's got a flashlight on it. That's nifty.
You gotta be kidding me.
Oh my god, this is totally weird.
Watch out! There's a drone below you!
I got a curl. My heart is actually really beating very fast right now.
That was awesome. That was so cool.
Thanks for, man, letting us walk through this experience, because I have to tell you, it was an entirely different world experience from any VR experience I've experienced. Well,
it's great to have you here. Really excited about what we're doing.
You know, back when film first burst onto the scene and that train came at them, people felt like it was real. Now we're moving into this interactive element of virtual reality. Maybe people are a little disappointed after a few years of hype around VR because it's not quite as immersive. But what you're doing with Nomadic really takes it to the next level. Explain your kind of what you're bringing to the table here to take Nomadic into that super, that hyper-physical direction.
Well, one of the problems I've always had with VR in the past is that when you're sitting still, or you can only move around a little bit, mm-hmm. You can't really explore, and so you're forced to use controllers and things to like leap forward or, you know, do things, grab things, whatever. And we really wanted to take away all that so that your body was your controller, just like in the real world. When you need to open the door, you reach out, you grab the door handle, you turn it, you open the door, you walk through it. And so we're trying to take every little bit of tricks that I learned over the years in the film industry of how can you convince people that the visuals are real by giving them something to touch, by giving them vibrations and wind and heat. It creates this, what we call in the film industry, suspension of disbelief.
I wasn't expecting the realism.
For me, as a game maker, you know, I've never really had to think about what the physical position is of the player. But in our experience, for example, we have a situation where one of the NPCs asks you to wave.
Hi.
Right? They wave at you.
Oh, I see you. Okay, hi.
And we actually don't track you. We just sort of assume like social obligation will take over, and you wave back. And everyone does.
This is really
right?
cool.
Because you don't want to be that guy. Right? The guy waves you, you wave back. And it's a little subtle thing, But it all adds up into this larger feeling of I'm really here. The wind, the heat, the physicality, the different textures, right? The way the plank kind of wobbles when you walk across.
The floor underneath you is a big aspect of this particular experience,
right.
Be it the plank, be it the elevator.
Right. Have an actual prop in your hand. Oh, you know, if you don't know where you are in the space, it can be a real challenge. But if you have a prop, your body kind of fills in the dots.
Do you have plans or ideas around expanding it so you do see more physical elements? Or is that a big kind of, I don't know, a big challenge?
It is a big challenge. But the answer to the question is yes. We absolutely want to get to an avatar-style representation in space. And we have done it with, for example, we've done it with Leap Motion, which is a, for folks who don't know, it's a hand-tracking software and hardware solution. And to have your hands is certainly a bonus. So we do know that being able to see your hands and to do finger tracking, that's great, but also really for multiplayer. We know that having that social element just adds so much more engagement, and you're so much more enthralled when you can share it with another person. So we're going to get to multiplayer, and all the challenges that come along with that is you need to see where the other person is.
Absolutely.
You know, and just a floating headset and a floating gun isn't going to do it.
I imagine user testing is of high importance when you're talking about stuff like this. And sure. I know that you guys were in Hong Kong not too long ago doing a lot of user testing there. What are some of the surprises that you gleaned from watching people go through your the environment that you have created around them?
Well, it's really fascinating watching human behavior because, first of all, people are essentially blindfolded when they're going through it. And so they are just reacting. They're not aware that there's chaperones and stuff that are following them through just to make sure that they're, you know, not going to fall and trip or get hurt. But we can watch their behavior, and it gives us a feedback so that we can correct the game. Like if people are consistently doing something or having trouble with something, we can fix it. But also, it's really fascinating to watch how people deal with things. We had some folks, I think they were from Russia, and I'm not sure if it was a translation issue, but rather than going to the window, they were trying to climb through the window.
A big part of what Nomadic is doing in this location-based VR is not necessarily the general idea of here's a big warehouse, you come here, it's the same experience every time you go through.
Right.
It's meant to be more of a modular approach. Explain a little bit about like how is that built into a location?
Yeah, we're trying to make it like going to the movies, so that every few months a new experience comes into town. And if it's a really popular one, it can get into a rotation and keep coming back. But our experiences are designed so that we have modular set pieces, modular wall pieces, modular props. Everything is designed so that it can be quickly reconfigured so that our locations have as little downtime as possible, so that we can come in overnight, rearrange the walls, put in new set pieces, load new software, and you have a whole new experience the next day.
Yeah, I can see so many kind of possibilities around tie-ins with movies. You know, you go see a movie like Mission Impossible,
sure.
And before or after the movie, go in there and have the Mission Impossible experience and tie it in with your movie viewing experience.
And the visuals can be anything you want. It could be Mission Impossible. It could be Avatar. It could be Dora the Explorer. It could be Legos. I mean, it could be any of these things.
Surprise is important, and there are a lot of different kinds of surprises. The easy ones are the startling stuff, the shock scares, and we really decided long ago it's easy to mess that up and do that poorly. And I think the VR industry in general, the home industry, is starting to learn. There have been some horror games that have been really kind of traumatic to some people. I kind of overdid it. And, you know, we're seeing much more sophisticated sort of psychological horror that's coming along in the home scene. We will likely do haunted house style scenarios. I don't know if we're ever going to go down that route of more of a tougher horror experience just because I don't think it fits the kind of audience that we're going for. So those kind of surprises we're not going to aim for. But the other kind of surprises that can be done around things like changing of scale really quickly. That's something you can do beautifully in VR where suddenly, you know, you're a 6 foot tall human being and very easily you can be a 6 inch mouse really quickly. And suddenly the world looks really different to you, right? And so this thing that you're interacting with that was, you know, you thought was a trash can a minute ago is now a thimble. And you're just like, whoa, what is going on? But it's like, it's still just a trash can, dude.
You very recently kind of came out of stealth mode. And, you know, now everybody's kind of getting the chance to, you know, you're inviting people in to kind of get the chance to experience this. Is there a timetable that you can share as far as when folks watching and listening might have the opportunity to drop in on an experience like this? Because now that I know what it's like, right. I've been looking forward to this for a really long time. So, you know, it's kind of like living a dream that I've had for a little while now. I want to tell everybody about it and point them in the direction. Like, when do people get the chance to do this?
So I can't get into specifics, as I'm sure you can understand.
Yeah.
I will say that 2018 will be a year when we will have real presence and people will really start to be able to try. One of our missions as a company is we want to be in neighborhoods everywhere. Mm-hmm. That's not going to happen in a year. That's going to take a while, but we have a plan to get there. Mm-hmm. I'm not trying to be evasive, but from, you know, a guy who's been building games for a long, long time, sometimes, you know, release dates can always be a bit challenging and tricky. And now you've got something that has this whole new component where, you know, we've got a whole booth that we have to install. You know, the internal part we have to set up and props that we're creating for these experiences. Mm-hmm. So there's a ton of really cool stuff that we're working on, but it's all kind of got to dovetail at the right time.
So that was Jim Preston. He's the executive producer. He also talked to John Duncan, the head of physical production.
That's right.
The company is called Nomadic. They come from ILM, Industrial Light and Magic, the Lucas Special Effects Unit, and from Electronic Arts. Mm-hmm. So this makes perfect sense. In fact, this to me seems like the most reasonable use of VR. They're using Oculus Rift. Is that what they're using?
I believe it was an HTC Vive. If I remember correctly.
Well, no, I'm looking at the headphones. Those earphones are Oculus Rift specific. So I'm thinking,
there you go.
And it's hooked to a computer on your back. How heavy was that?
The computer actually, I expected it to be, you know, to weigh you down, and it really didn't. Either that, or you were so engaged with everything that you were surrounded by that it really kind of dropped off your priority list immediately.
It's a much better. They were right when they said the problem with VR the way it is now is you don't move. You're in a kind of constrained space.
Absolutely,
it's not realistic when you're moving around and there are props and there's physical things. I loved you walking on the beam. That scared all of you. Victor looked terrified. Anthony looked terrified.
Yeah, I mean,
that looks like fun.
If I had a something that I was like regularly afraid of, like a phobia, it would probably be fear of heights. And when you step onto that bar, that beam,
and it jiggles,
and you look down, and I mean, you see the street way down below, the beam jiggling. That was actually an accident. Apparently, when they set it up, they wanted to set it up to be still, but when they set it down, it jiggled a little bit at some point, and they realized just how much further that took the idea because you get on there and it kind of shakes and it makes my bones ache thinking about it.
You could see this. I mean, laser tag was big. I mean, for a while, and there people had similar kinds of spaces they'd set up and you'd play laser tag. You can see the same kinds of spaces being used. I love the idea that they change it regularly. That was one of the problems with laser tag.
Absolutely.
It got boring because it was the same space all the time.
Yep.
It almost would be like going to the movies. Like, the new, you know, Nomadic experiences in town.
Mm-hmm.
But was there a story? Were you living? How were you?
Yeah, I mean, you were guided through. When you put the helmet on, you know, there's a voice that kind of walks you through it. The experience itself is called Chicago. And, you know, it's built around these kind of attacking drones. And, you know, you
can't be much of a story.
There isn't much. I mean, the whole thing itself, like, you could get through there really quickly, but I probably spent maybe 7 minutes in it.
It was pretty quick.
Beginning to end. But there were definitely, you know, there was the room that you enter into at the beginning where you find the gun, which, by the way, I'm sure you saw in the B-roll, you saw that little pizza.
Steaming, that looks good. I would have taken
steaming, stinky pizza.
Leave the
that
gun,
was on
take
top of the
pizza.
Filing cabinet. It had a purpose. It was there because there are sensors in the real space that need to detect whether the gun is inside of the filing cabinet and where the gun is when you open the filing cabinet to get it. So they put the digital pizza there so that you don't want to go near it and shatter the illusion of going through the pizza and into the open top.
So it's really
the
disgusting.
Cabinet. Yeah. Well, apparently it wasn't that disgusting.
No,
they need to work on the disgusting part. Maybe rotten smell or something.
Flies, no big deal. But there wasn't smell, but I noticed they had a heater and a blower.
Yeah, the heater was by these big pipes, if I remember correctly, and as you walk by, you feel this like sensation of heat on your arm. I mean, all these little details. You go outside, when you open the door to go outside, you feel a little bit of that fan. Nothing too drastic, but just enough air movement to make you even more so believe
the trick is not to pull you out of the experience, but to trick you into feeling like you're really there.
When you get into this elevator that's outside and you step in it, the elevator kind of shakes a little bit, and you know
that's
synced up with the sound. The whole thing was just unbelievable.
To me, this is a much more compelling use of virtual reality than anything you could do at home. And I think it seems like fun. I wish them luck. That's great. Jim and John and Nomadic. And we thank him for letting us go there and visit. And everybody got to do it. I want to go.
Hopefully coming to a theater near you.
I'm jealous now.
Sounds like 2018.
Well, I was just thinking, you know, when we get tired of doing TWiT, we could just take over the studio and put that in here. This would be perfect.
I mean, yeah. This is slightly larger than the room that we went through.
We could set up a total experience for you. You can go into my office.
I will say one thing I'm really happy that they didn't do, and he talked about it a little bit when I was talking with him, is that they didn't use people in the experience itself. You're shooting at robots, you're shooting at drones, because when you get to that level of believability based on your surroundings, based on sensory and all that kind of stuff, I'm not sure I would want to do it if I knew that I was actually shooting at someone. You know what I mean?
It would be
a little too believable.
Yeah.
Like a horror experience or something could get a little overboard. I'm sure there are people that wouldn't bother them. I'm surprised that it bothers me because I played plenty of video games in my lifetime.
I got a haunted house we're going to send you level, and the kids up to. Have you done the haunted houses yet?
I haven't.
There's one up here just up the ways in Rohnert Park. It's terrifying. But it's a virtual reality experience, except you don't have to wear a headset. They jump out at you. And then yesterday, because it's Halloween, we did the corn maze, which is another kind of, it makes me, these are like experiences. But these are real experiences, but you could simulate in a limited space with virtual reality. But the corn maze is challenging. A friend of mine took 2.5 hours to get out of it. But so you can get a map at the beginning if you're chicken.
Nah, you don't do that.
But he's my trainer. He's macho. So he said, "No, we're going in." And it took him a long time to get out. Now Lisa and I took the kids, but I have a method. As I'm sure you all know, that if you just keep your hand on the right wall or left wall, but pick a wall and just don't let it break, you will eventually get out. It took us half an hour, and no wrong turns, but it was fun. Except Michael, our 14-year-old, kept saying, "I want to get lost. This is no fun. Next time I'm going by myself." Are you ready? It's time for a call.
Let's
for help. I'm really excited about this one. On the line with us, Greg from New Jersey. Hi, Greg.
Hey, Greg.
Hi, guys. How you doing?
I'm great. Thank you for hanging with us for a little bit. Because you have a story I think I want everybody to hear. You bought and already got a Pixel 2 XL.
Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you, I think.
when did you get yours?
I got it last week. I pre-ordered it, and it came in, I think, last Thursday or Friday.
Now, this is the bigger one, the full bezel
one
that people have. It uses an LG OLED, same one in the V30. People have two complaints about it. One doesn't bother me so much as they said it's kind of grainy, especially when you dim the screen. Did you notice that?
No, I haven't had the graininess.
See, and that doesn't bother me. I've seen that before. I went and looked at one at Verizon. But you also say you had the other problem, the burn-in problem.
Yes, I had the burn-in problem. I had the burn-in problem, so I contacted them. And
wait a minute now.
At first,
wait a minute.
What's that?
You're leaving out an important part. It came burned in.
Oh, yes, yes. Well, the first one, there's two that I've had. The first one, I didn't notice that it came burned in. It took a day or two. And after a day or two, people started talking about it. I looked, and I said, oh, yeah, my phone does have the burn-in.
It came that way.
That's crazy.
It came that way. 2 days old, it was there.
Oh, that's terrible. Right. So you called them?
So I called Google, and they at first were telling me that everything was working properly and not to be too concerned about it, but they would put it in for an inquiry. And I said, okay, but it doesn't seem right. So the next day, my phone started hanging up and squeal noises were coming through the speaker on phone calls.
Oh, dear.
And when it hung up, it rebooted.
Oh, no!
Not just hanging up the call, the whole phone would reboot and start over.
Uh-oh.
So after a couple times of that, I called Google again. And I explained that to them. And while I was on the phone with them, it happened. And they had to call me back. And they're like, oh, wow, this is a serious problem. Yeah. Said,
you got a lemon for sure in that regard.
A couple.
What do you mean a couple? So you sent it back, you sent it in?
So they issued me a replacement. I got that in this Friday, yesterday. And the first thing I did when I opened the box was checked it for the screen burn-in, and it had it as I was going through the setup menu. I could find it.
Out of the box.
Oh, my goodness.
Now, I guess they probably test these in the factory, but it sounds like it gets the burn-in. Is this a picture of it? That's somebody else's picture.
An example of
same thing, though.
Crazy. I'm sorry. That's a major defect. You do not want to accept that. So you called them back, and then this time they said okay.
I called him back again today, and I said, you know, I want to report this. You know, I said, I don't know what you're trying to do with it or what you're not trying to do, but, what's the deal? And they basically said the phone's working properly, but this isn't, you know, acceptable on my level. So they said that they're taking the IMEI numbers down on the returns, and they're tracking it down to what location and what parts could possibly be defective, and they're going to try to narrow it down.
Okay, because not all reviewers, I should mention, at least a lot of, you know, what we've heard about this issue has been from reviewers that got early access models of this so that they could write the reviews. Not all reviewers noticed this burn-in issue. Some of them did. So it's very possible that there's
I would hope that's the case. Yeah. They got all the screens from the same factory, the LG factory. It's an older factory.
Yeah.
It was the only one capable of making them in that capacity. It's the same screen in the V30. But we aren't seeing that burn in the V30.
No, not
we know that Samsung modifies its software on its OLEDs in the Note 8 and the Galaxy S8. They jitter it. They actually, I'm told, I don't know this for a fact because I can't see it, but apparently they move the screen by one pixel every once in a while so that these buttons at the bottom, which are always on the screen, are not always in the same position, slightly off. And they, I guess they do that because OLEDs are prone to burn in. This is not... unusual.
It's part of the technology, or at least it's known about the technology.
But the P-OLEDs that LG's using may be more prone to it? I don't know.
It sounds like it.
So how does it stand right now? Which phone are you on? And are they sending you another one?
Yes, I'm on my second. I'm waiting for my third. The third should be here Monday.
Wow.
And, you know, they just told me to try to enjoy the phone because it's working properly and this bug will get worked out.
But, try to enjoy the phone. Try to enjoy all of those holds on your credit card too. While this is
only
happening.
You know, $3,000 worth of holds. So
well, this is really interesting. I mean, so there is a question, and I don't think we know from what Google said to you if they know is this going to be on every Pixel 2 XL?
That's my question.
I mean, they know that it's significant enough that they had to make some sort of a public acknowledgement of the issue, and they ended up making a correction to their warranty policy. So normally they would give, I think it's a year's manufacturer's warranty when you buy a new Pixel. If you wanted more than that, you could buy the extended coverage, what is it called, the preferred care extended warranty. But with this announcement that I think they made on Thursday afternoon, they're basically extending the manufacturer's warranty to a full 2 years. Now, if you've bought preferred care, that basically negates the need for preferred care. So they say you can get a refund for that if you did happen to buy that, because they're basically offering that for free, from what I understand.
But if they can't fix this problem, that isn't even going to be a solution. Because if they can't send you one that doesn't have a burn-in issue, then who would want this phone? Well, let me ask you that, Greg. Is it bad enough that you go, oh, I can't take it?
Well, I don't know. That's my question, really. It's kind of hard to say. Would that bother you enough? Me? I don't know. It's always there, so it's in the back of your head. And when the phone's $1,000, it kind of feels silly telling, say, your wife you spent $1,000 on a phone. And, oh, by the way, there's a burn in it, and you can see it looking at it, you know, to remind me. Thanks, you know. So, I showed my neighbor last night my great new phone, and the first thing he said to me was like, does it have that issue they're talking about? And I said, well, can you see it? And he said, oh, wow, look at that. So
this is very bad for Google.
Yeah, that's not good at all. They're also – well, okay, to answer your question, or at least to kind of address your question – do you return it? I think that's going to vary from person to person. Some people aren't, this probably, you know, might not bother them, but just, it would bother me, right? Knowing that it's there, knowing that if you watch a video or something that removes that navigation bar, that there's a possibility that you're going to have some sort of persistence in the image. Like, that would bug me, and especially for the price of the device. At some point, I feel like I would have to just call it and be like, all right, well, apparently this isn't my phone because they can't get this right for this premium price tag. Some people might not be bugged by
it. Yeah, I'm not, for instance, bugged by the dimming, the pixelated, grainy dimming, because I looked at that and I see it, but that doesn't bother me so much. But it would bother me, I guess. I don't know. You're both getting them, right?
I have one. I should be getting mine on Monday. I suppose from where I'm coming from is at least Google has acknowledged it. At least they're offering, you know, via the warranty, some sort of concessions there. And I imagine
if you get this phone, you can see, live with it for a couple of weeks, see how much it really bugs you, and, you know, go back to Google if it bothers you that much and get your money back. They're basically saying yes to that. Now, should you have to do that when you're spending $1,000 on a phone? Heck no. And maybe that's enough for someone to say, I'm not even going to touch it, because there are plenty of really great phones out right now.
Yeah, we're going to talk about Android phones. I mean, in that price point, this is the Samsung Note 8.
Yeah.
Phenomenal phone.
Awesome phone.
And that screen doesn't have burn-in. It's the most beautiful screen ever. One thing that's also an interesting point is that Google claims they're calibrating their Pixel XL screens, actually both Pixel 2 screens, for an sRGB standard. Mm-hmm. And that apparently is not the case.
You get a little bit of off-axis blue tints.
Yeah.
I don't know if you noticed that. I definitely noticed that when Florence and I showed it off on Tuesday.
I can say, as far as the blue tint, it is there. Yeah. It doesn't really bother me because I can, you know, yeah. I mostly hold my phone straight on, so it doesn't really bother me. Plus, they do say that it helps with wearing sunglasses and seeing a phone. And I can say with this phone, you can wear a pretty dark pair of sunglasses and still read your phone.
Yeah, that's
like,
good.
No other phone I've ever used.
They've used, from what I understand, they've used a circular polarizer on this screen.
Ah, interesting.
So you can wear your sunglasses and you're not
even
going
to get a reduction. Even polarized sunglasses.
And that works really good.
That's
and
nice.
The other thing I can say as far as the warranty stuff, what I noticed was the first time it was pretty difficult to get through to them that I wanted a new phone. And today on this one, it was pretty simple. Like they kind of, the guy knew it. Like
they
no
know they got a problem.
They've made their admission they have to stick to it.
Yeah. I wouldn't be worried about being able to return it or not.
Right.
Just what do you do from that point on? Because, you know, I mailed back my other Pixel. So that if I send this back, I don't have a current phone.
That's true. And you when
know,
you mailed in your other Pixel,
credit.
When you mailed in your other Pixel, that was to get the discount because for the trade?
Yes.
So how do they rectify that? Because you no longer have the phone. You got a discount for the new phone that you bought. You're getting your money back. Like,
it's kind of a mess.
Yeah, that
it?
Is kind of a mess.
Yes.
I mean, for what it's worth, just to kind of be completionist about this topic, 8.1 is in developer preview right now, and Google is addressing this at least partially through software by dimming the bottom navigation bar after 2 seconds, hopefully to mitigate the problem or to slow it. I don't know.
So what this does underscore is as much as we like to have the newest thing the minute it comes out, maybe that's not always the best thing to do.
Yeah.
For most people, it might be worth waiting a month or two to hear what the problems are with any new phone, particularly a new design. So going to the iPhone 8 wasn't as risky because that's basically the 7. But going to the iPhone 10, that may be risky. And I would, same thing, I would wait and see.
Yeah.
And I guess this is true. The Pixel, you and I have to buy these because we want to be able to review them for you. We're the guinea pigs. So take advantage of the fact that we have to do it. And wait and hear what people say. This is a bit of a problem.
Yeah.
Google also needs to color calibrate these out of the factory. They're apparently not saying they're doing it, but apparently not. I just was reading an interesting thread. Marcus Brownlee's talking about the bad color on his phone, but he kind of got it wrong in terms of he's saying it's because it's sRGB calibrated, but iPhones have been sRGB calibrated for some time.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're P3 calibrated and they have fine color. I think I was reading one thread by a guy who does color analysis of screens who says it's completely off calibration. Hmm. It's as if it was not calibrated in the factory.
Oh, interesting.
So this is another open question.
Yeah.
I think there's a number of open questions with this Pixel. It very much disappoints me because I was very excited about the Pixel 2.
Completely agree.
Especially the XL. Greg, our advice, at this point, I think you're kind of stuck only because you don't have a backup.
Yeah.
Yep. Cross your fingers this third one fixes it.
Well, I mean, there is an alternative here, which is the fact that we're not seeing this on the smaller version of the Pixel 2. From what I understand, this is just a Pixel 2 XL.
That's an AMOLED screen, which I think means it's a Samsung screen, right? PLEDs are LG's version.
Sure.
AMOLEDs are Samsung's version. Samsung does not seem to have these issues with their screens. Maybe they have a more mature OLED technology.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, if your priority with this is to stay in the Google kind of world, you know, with their hardware and obviously to have a better display, maybe trying out the 2 before you bag it. But it's a smaller device. There are reasons that you get the larger one versus the smaller one. A lot of the features are the same, but there's some differences. It's another option, I guess.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was thinking. If the third one comes in, I'll give it a few days to a week and see what if it comes in right away, I'll know and I'll decide, and maybe I will try to, a smaller one.
Yeah.
You know.
I'm not. If it's a hardware issue, I'm not convinced that any software can fix it. But we'll see.
That's what I was thinking.
Agreed.
Greg, stay in touch. I'd love to know how your experience is. The good news is that in both cases they've replaced it.
Right.
And that is good service. But there's no point in getting it replaced if they're not going to fix the problem.
So, yeah, just sending you another bad one.
Another
really
bad one. That's
not
problem. A fix. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Thanks, Greg. I appreciate
it. All right. Thank you a lot.
Thank you. Yeah, best of luck.
We'll see what happens with your phone, with my phone.
Florida
hasn't
very
had any
curious.
Problem with hers.
She hasn't.
I have to say, I saw a terrible burn-in on a Pixel 2 at the Verizon store.
Really?
And I didn't pay any attention to it. It was really badly burn-in. Now, remember, with an OLED screen, there's burn-in, which is permanent. And then there's persistence.
Right,
which,
image persistence,
which gets better. Mm-hmm. This sounds like burn-in. Mm-hmm. And that's a big, big issue if you're getting burned in screens. Those screens are
especially
now...
Especially if you're receiving it and
ruined.
Unboxing it, and
those
immediately it's there. That's just
that's
horrible.
A ruined screen that got ruined quickly.
Yeah.
And if it's that bad now, what's it going to be in a month?
Yep, that's the big question. I think that's exactly why Google extended it to 2 years.
Yeah. I think what we're really seeing, and I think if you start with the Note 7... And you go to this phone. We'll see with the Apple iPhone X. They've had certainly production problems with that. The companies are pushing really hard to make something special happen in their new phones.
Mm-hmm.
And if they push too hard, as they did with the Note 7, you get an exploding phone. As Google may have done with the Pixel 2 XL, you've got a phone with bad screen issues. They really want to make big jumps forward, and I don't know if that's even possible now. So this may be this may not be the end of this trend. We'll see.
Sure.
Next week, Megan Maroney will be with us. We can talk about iOS, and she'll have her iPhone X with her. Here's how you ask your questions.
Need tech help? The new screensavers are here with answers. Email your tech questions to newscreensavers@twit.tv.
All right, Jason, you can go on over and get ready for your holiday gift guide. I'm getting a little chilly here in the studio, but thank goodness I have my very beautiful Eddie Bauer Evertherm jacket in here. I'm going to put this on. Get ready for this. This is an amazing jacket. It looks like a windbreaker, right? It's thin, it's light. It's only 11.36 ounces for my XL. And this is a new kind of down. 30G thin down insulation. It's not puffy, right? I don't look like the Michelin man. No quilting required. That's good, by the way. It means there's no cold spots, because where that quilting is, that's where your heat escapes. But it is down. It's down fabric, not loose down clusters. No migration, no balling up. Get ready for this. This down without the puff, lightweight, slim profile jacket will take me down to 15 degrees below zero. Are you ready for that? This is a revolution. Warm down to 15 degrees. Wind-resistant, water-resistant, storm-repelled DWR technology. They have it for men. They have it for women in all sizes. This has been tested by Eddie Bauer's world-famous guides on Mount Everest, Kilimanjaro, the Grand Tetons. And, of course, all Eddie Bauer jackets and products are guaranteed for life. Whether you're snow-kiting in Minnesota, you're ice-climbing in Colorado, heading for a snowshoe trip down to New Hampshire's White Mountains, you got to wear the new Evertherm jackets. For people who want to be warm but don't want to be look like the puffball coming down the slopes, I love this jacket. Find out more. You can go to get the Evertherm down jacket at the Eddie Bauer stores. There's one near you. Or go online and get it. EddieBauer.com/Evertherm. EddieBauer.com/Evertherm. You know, we keep the studio so cool in here. I might just keep wearing this. Look at this. It's nice. It's light. Makes me want to go to the cold. It's 80 degrees outside, so I can't wear it outside, but I will keep it on here. All right. Very first, wait a minute.
Step into Christmas.
We're having a Christmas tree issue here. Let's move
that
one
over.
These
Christmas trees are just a little too
dominated.
Give me
the poinsettia. Move that over.
Okay.
Jason Howell, host of All About Android, tries and uses every Android.
Here, let me.
Your balls got loose there.
Yeah, sorry about that. I didn't expect that to happen.
Yeah, there's glitter everywhere.
There we go. All right, cool.
You try all the Android phones. And
we try a lot of them.
There are people, you know, if you're an iPhone user, it's really not a difficult choice. You know, you've just got a limited thing. But in the Android space, there is almost an infinite variety. So let's take a look at some Android phones.
So holiday gift guide for the holidays, 2 months away. You may not believe it, but it's true. Right around the corner, really. You're going to blink and it's going to be here.
Wait a minute. Here comes the holiday gift guide music. It means it's time once again.
I forgot about that. That's awesome. Okay. So I thought I would kind of go low, mid, premium tier for the most part, and then a little bit of a surprise.
That actually is the good thing about Android is you can get an Android phone down to $200 and get a pretty decent phone.
I mean, you can go even less than that, and we will on one of the phones that we're going to talk about today. But we're going to start kind of in the low end. And what do I consider low end? Probably kind of what you're talking about, right? Like $250, right around that area.
If I looked at these phones and I didn't know what they were, I wouldn't know which the cheap one is.
Isn't that weird? Because I feel like not very long ago, all the distinct tiers were very obvious when you looked at them. You'd see a cheap phone and be like, ugh, that just doesn't look good. Now they all have, you know, this is kind of low to high here. They've all got really nice front-facing glass. Everything's kind of rounded.
Got the curved glass, the rounded corners.
Yeah, got the curved
back
glass.
Back is
rounded.
Nice.
And, you know, there was a time when not every phone was done with aluminum and metal materials, and now you're getting that on the low-end devices.
Now, one phone we don't have here, I wish we did, is the Motorola.
So, and that I said would be my pick for low end.
Yeah.
It's the Moto G5 Plus.
Really nice.
$229 metal body, plastic frame around the edge. But it's done. I mean, I remember Miriam Jouard brought this in All About Android and iPod at the phone for a little while. And I was struck by how premium it felt, especially considering the price category. Snapdragon 625, 1080p LCD display, very nice camera, 12 megapixel f1.7.
And you camera. Like the images that you...
Yeah, it actually did a really great job. It's actually a similar camera to what you find in the Galaxy S7, but without all of that image processing. Some of the low-light stuff, I expected to be a little bit better than it actually was for 1.7, but still, for this price category, if you're low-end and you want great pictures, I would probably say this.
This is a Lenovo company now. Google sold them to the Chinese company Lenovo. But the Chicago team that made the Motorola X is still in place and is still designing these phones, right? So I think these are still have a lot of the spirit of the Moto X, which means a very clean Android with some nice Motorola extensions. I'm really continue to like these phones. I think they're very good phones. And $229.
And I believe you can even get that less if you get it through Amazon as a Prime subscriber and
get
lock screen ads.
The front,
you can get that down to like $170 or something.
And Motorola has been very good about keeping them up to date, right? The Google security patches.
Yeah, they've done surprisingly well. I think a lot of people expected it to be horrible, and they've done a reasonable job keeping things
updated. That's pretty important. I mean, we aren't going to really mention it, but in general, you don't want to buy an Android phone that's not going to get updated. That's critical.
It's such a hard thing to know. I mean, you know, sometimes even past behavior isn't a good indicator of what you're going to get out of your phone. That's just the challenge of Android. I don't know if this is necessarily a runner-up, but it's a phone in this category that I've been playing around with that I've been reasonably happy with. It's the Asus Zenfone 4 Max, which is $200.
That's a great price.
5.5-inch IPS display, Snapdragon 430, 3 gigs of RAM, a dual 13-megapixel rear-facing camera. Now, you're not going to get portrait mode out of that. The dual gives you regular and wide angle. But the reason for Max in the name is that this has a 5,000 milliamp hour battery.
That's huge.
So if instead, you know, maybe the Moto G5 Plus is if camera is important to you, maybe think about this one if the battery is really important.
My battery life
has been phenomenal on this thing. I hardly ever have to charge it. And I've been using it for probably about 5 days now.
You know, what really we're seeing is this would have been a flagship phone 2 years ago.
Yeah.
But the features of a flagship phone from a couple of years ago are now migrating into the low-end phones. And you know what? 2 years, that's not a big deal.
Nah.
It's got a decent camera, but not great. Is that...
Yeah, I would say. I would say the pictures are reasonable. I like having the wide-angle option. You know, I really like to have that extra feature.
I'll tell you what,
feature.
Battery life might win overall.
That's
amazing.
You know what you don't get? USB-C. It's really weird going back to USB.
I miss that.
Standard USB.
USB. And it looks like, is there a headphone jack on the other side?
There is headphone jack.
And the Motorola has a headphone jack, too.
Yeah. So, okay, but there you go.
These phones do not. In fact, this next phone...
That's the Asus ZenFone 4 Max. Okay, so mid-range.
Yeah.
I feel like this, my recommendation here, has changed very, very recently. If you remember Essential.
Because of me. I changed your mind on this one.
Essential phone, if you remember, was a little overpriced considering what you got. The camera had issues, and that is actually right here.
They recently
dropped the price of this.
Yeah,
they dropped it down $200 less.
It's what, $500
now? So now it's at around $500 for the Essential phone.
And I'm happy to say they've fixed the camera issues. So it doesn't crash. The camera does a great job.
Yep.
The only negative, I really love the feel of this in the hand. Doesn't it feel good in the hand?
Yeah, I mean, so much of this phone, I feel like the big selling point, in my opinion, is the design, right? The premium materials, ceramic, titanium, it feels tight and compact. Of course, the trade-off for that is that it's not at all repairable. It's all sealed and glued, and if that doesn't bother you, then great. But, I mean, you've got Snapdragon 835 processor in here, 4 gigs of RAM.
It is a flagship.
It's flagship level. Specs. And at 500. It used to be 700. Now it's 500, dropped into the mid-range. And I think
that
makes it a big sell.
That's a negative. It does have a bezel-less screen. It has that notch. Apple's going to make the notch be all the rage.
Yeah, Apple's going all in
Android
on the notch.
Android isn't as bad with a notch, I would because say. Your Android notification bar usually doesn't have anything in the middle there. So
yeah,
it's not the end of
the And not to mention, you have the ability
I'm not sure that is a selling point, but this is a 360-degree camera that just attaches magnetically to the back of it and then communicates wirelessly with the phone. The image wasn't super good.
Nah.
But that's also reduced in price.
Well, now you get this for free if you buy it at the 500.
Really? Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're kind of desperate to make this.
Yeah, I know. It's right. What a reversal there. But I mean, I could actually recommend it now. It's actually a really great phone.
I like this phone. Father Robert's inheriting it, and I think it's a surprisingly good phone now that they fixed the camera flaws.
Runner up. OnePlus 5.
Also a great phone
throughout the year, and it's held strong. It's been great. Great phone in this category.
Good battery life, too,
$79. Yeah, excellent battery life, excellent pictures. This phone, if I remember correctly, takes great low light pictures. It has the portrait mode because it has the dual cameras. It has 2x optical zoom, which I love to get out of my dual camera setups. Snapdragon 835, 6 gigs of RAM. So you got a lot of RAM in there, 64 gigs of storage. GSM only. So if that is a problem, you know, keep that in mind here in the U.S.
Not ideal for Sprinter Verizon.
Right, exactly. 3,300 milliamp hour battery. I love the OnePlus 5. I think you get either one of these in this category and you win.
Some criticisms of their Oxygen OS because of its snooping features, although they say they're going to make it possible to disable those.
Yep.
That didn't bother me too much, but it's something to be aware of.
A lot of the phones are doing that.
Yeah, everybody's snooping on you.
You can't do it or not.
Yeah, everybody's snooping on you.
But that's really good. Okay, so then we're left
with our mid-range.
That's our mid-range.
Now, this is where the rubber hits the road.
Yeah.
Because there's some really good choices at
the
high end.
And before the past week had happened, I would have assumed that the Pixel, you know, would be right up there. But it turns out I've spent the last month with a Galaxy Note 8.
I love it, too.
And I gotta say, this is an amazing phone.
Yeah.
It's really, I know that a phone is really good because I use a lot of phones. I'm sure the same with you. When I can never get around to pulling my SIM out of it and put it in something else.
Yeah.
I'm like, if I don't, because usually with a phone, I hit my point. I'm like, all right, done with that. SIM out, put it back into my phone. This one, I never wanted to take it out.
The best screen of any phone on the market, easily.
Yeah.
Absolutely one of the best, if not the best, cameras. Amazing photography.
I love the pictures on this phone.
The only negative, and it does have a headphone jack, which I'm very glad. The only negative is the positioning of the fingerprint reader to the point where every once in a while the camera will say, you know, you'll get better pictures if you clean off my lens.
Because I hate the fingerprint reader.
The fingerprint reader is right next to the lens and feels the same, and it's just bad placement.
And because the Note is so tall, and you hold usually a phone with the bottom half of the phone, when you want to reach that fingerprint reader, you got to do some gymnastics with your fingers in order to hit it, and then you end up tapping the camera instead. Horrible placement. I have to imagine they're going to change that, because also I have here the S8 Plus, and again, it had the placement.
They had a chance to fix it, and they didn't.
They didn't this year. I think they're probably going to do it next year. But you know what? I have Iris on both these, Iris scanning.
Do you use the Iris scanning?
Yes, and that works most of the time for me.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
And when it doesn't, I'm just reaching for that fingerprint.
I don't use the S Pen. Are you an S Pen kind of guy?
No, you know, I'm not.
I don't either. But
yet I still like the phone.
It's an if you like handwriting, if you like drawing, it is a great. You know, it's the only, really one of the few. I think there's one other phone with a stylus. It's definitely the best, you know, stylus phone. I'm not crazy about the 2:1 aspect ratio. That's so tall.
It's tall. I guess I've gotten used to it because I think at first it felt a little stretched out. Yeah. But, you know, I'm a tall guy, so maybe it speaks to me.
Did you ever send sparkly messages?
I did that once with my kids. They thought it was cool.
Just once.
Yeah. It gave me a reason to use the S Pen, let's say. And then I would say runner-up, depending on how all this stuff happens with the Pixel. It's really hard to recommend the Pixel 2 XL or the Pixel 2 at this point, considering what we know. But it is Google's flagship. It's close to what Google's working towards. There's some value there. The update aspects of the Pixel is always a big selling point.
It's the most secure and will always be the most secure Android phone.
Yeah, but it's really hard to say, without a doubt, this is the one to get, which is very different from any other year for me because I'm super close to Google. And this is
you
hard
have
for me
to wait until
right
they fix this screen issue.
Yep.
I am convinced they will. There's no way they can continue to sell this phone for a year if they don't. So either it's a Note 7 level disaster or Google fixes it.
Yeah.
And my prediction is they'll fix it. They've got the money to fix it.
They're going
to
find a way
to fix it. And when they do, that's this will be easily the Android phone again, I think.
Yeah. And then I thought I'd do a stocking stuffer. Because
you
I
have another phone,
easy.
Where have you been hiding it?
Hidden down in the sleigh.
It's in the sleigh.
Oh, it's the jelly phone.
Wait a minute, that's a joke. You're joking now. This is a phone smaller than your thumb.
Oh, hey, there's some text messages. Maybe I'll keep the.
So you've been using it.
I used this for a while. Actually, I felt ridiculous any time I took a phone call on it.
Put it next to your head. Make a. Hello.
Hello. Has a little Zoolander vibe to it, right? Hello.
But it's tiny and it's cheap, right?
It's $125. So $125.
Android.
This is the jelly compared to the Note 8, by the way. You could almost put two of them in there, and two you know,
and
tall and to the side. That's crazy. So it's a 4G phone, $125, quad core, 1.1 gigahertz MediaTek processor. This thing is not a crunching, you know, hardcore performance beast by any stretch. But it's a curiosity, and it'll fit in a stocking. 950 milliamp hour battery.
Kid, this is a great first phone for a kid.
Totally.
The good price.
I think, honestly, and I said this in my review a few weeks back on this show, I feel like it's a good kind of like Android media player that happens to also take calls. Because you can load any music software on here.
Music will sound the same.
And it has a micro SD card slot, so you can store all of your library on there if you want.
A headphone jack?
It does have a headphone jack.
Okay.
Yeah, right up there. So, it's a curiosity.
Average?
I mean, it's 950 milliamp hour battery. So I think on a phone this size, you're not using it the way you use otherwise.
Right.
Even though it's capable of it,
right,
you're not. So it probably stretches farther than you might expect, but it's still not that great.
The Jelly Phone.
The Jelly Phone.
$125.
Jelly Pro 4G.
I think for an 8-year-old, a 10-year-old, a 12, maybe, that would be a great phone.
Totally. Hey, my kids, when they find this laying around the house, they play
size.
Phone with it. Yeah. It's as close to a phone that they're going to get anytime soon.
Daddy's pretend phone.
Yes.
The jelly phone. Well, there's some good phones here. And I have to say, this is what is really great, is that the top-of-the-line flagship features are migrating down now.
Yeah.
And you can, for under $200, or maybe around $200, get a very, very capable phone. And that'll last you years.
Yeah, I'm curious to see, because it's interesting over the years to watch the trends trickle down. I'm curious to know when this like bezel-less approach will trickle down. Is that still a few years out?
Oh, yeah. No, I don't think it's that long. The only problem is, of course, limited, and this is Google's problem right now, is a limited supply of OLED screens. And, you know, only Samsung and LG make them.
Yeah.
LG doesn't make them as good as Samsung does.
Right.
But LG is building a fifth generation factory that's going to bring a bunch of more screens online. I think the demand's there. The companies are going to build the factories. You're going to see more of them.
Yep.
So, yeah, I think, and I like OLED. I really do like OLED
screens.
Yeah,
I do too.
Yeah. Our mailbag's coming up next. Last week, I don't know if you remember, Megan had the Acer Mixed Reality headset, which is poorly named. It's Microsoft's name. It's really a VR headset.
I love it.
But it doesn't need cameras in the building. It does all the sensing on the device itself. Father Robert Ballester has had it for a little while.
Mm-hmm.
He's got a full review. This is the Acer AH101.
The Acer AH101 is one of the Windows mixed reality headsets that was first announced by Microsoft at GDC 2017.
Microsoft wanted to create a headset that would not only rival gear from more established players like Oculus and HTC, but also spur development for non-gaming applications of VR. The hardware isn't particularly groundbreaking, but it is very well designed. The H101 uses dual 2.89-inch 1440x1440 1440 706ppi LCDs to create a 2880x1440 stereoscopic display with a 100-degree field of view. Acer also designed the display module to flip up and forward to allow you to see the real world without having to remove the headset. Nice touch. The headset is light, really light, only 1.35 pounds, and has a 13-foot umbilical that combines the HDMI and USB 3 cable needed to run the headset. A HoloLens-style headband uses a torsion wheel to adjust the headband to accommodate pretty much every size of head. The AH101 sports proximity sensors, a gyroscope, accelerometer, magnetometer, and tracking cameras to give the user 6 degrees of freedom: roll, pitch, yaw, forward, back, up, down, left, and right. Speaking of tracking cameras, that's a big advantage that the Acer has over competing gear from Oculus or HTC. The AH101 uses inside-out, or what Acer calls world-scale, tracking. That means you don't need to run a bunch of sensors to the corners of your VR space. Simply run the setup to create your boundaries and you're good to go. Everything is done inside the headset. In addition to the headset, the AH101 includes two motion controllers equipped with triggers, side buttons, thumbsticks, and touchpads / directional pads. After having used the equivalent on both the Oculus and HTC products, I can say that these feel much more comfortable and way more functional. But enough of the hardware. Let's get to virtualizing. The AH101, like the other MR headsets announced by Microsoft, are designed to work primarily with Windows Mixed Reality, which starts with the MR Portal. This is your home in VR space. From here, you can surf the web, watch movies, make Skype calls, buy apps, and pretty much enjoy customizing your VR space any way that you'd like. This might seem like throwaway eye candy, but this portal is important because it shows what Microsoft actually wants from Mixed Reality. They want you to use it for more than games. Non-coincidentally, the main thrust of the Oculus Connect 4 conference was to push the exact same thing. And I think Microsoft may actually have a leg up in this area. Now, just because Microsoft wants you to use the MR headset for more than games, that doesn't mean it doesn't play games. It does, and it does it very well. The AH101 has the same 90Hz refresh as both the Vive and the Rift, and even sports higher resolution, 2880x1440 versus 2160x1200. Though both competing products have debatably better image quality with larger OLED screens and a 110-degree field of view. To get the most out of the AH101, you need a moderately spec'd computer. At least a 6th-gen i5, 16GB of memory, a GeForce 965M or Radeon RX 460, HDMI 2.0, and USB 3.0. It can run on lesser machines, but performance will suffer. For example, using integrated graphics or HDMI 1.4 will drop you to a 60Hz refresh, which I found jarring. We played with the AH101 for hours, and it performed extremely well. The motions were accurate and precise. The tracking never failed, and except for a few glitches that occurred when I deliberately moved the controllers too far behind me, the VR experience was flawless. I would have liked a longer tether or wireless operation, but at this price point, that's not going to happen. Of course, with only 50 games and apps in the store, many will be put off. I mean, Superhot is an awesome game, but some will want more, and they shouldn't worry. There's already a Windows Mixed Reality preview in the Steam store that will allow Steam VR to play on your MR headset. In the end, the AH101 is a very competitively priced $400 VR headset that ups the Rift and Vive in terms of functionality and ergonomics, while falling a little short in image quality. For me, a casual gamer who is more interested in a portable rig that does more than games, the Acer AH101 is a no-brainer. I'm Father Robert Ballester, the Digital Jesuit, for Twit TV.
Did you get to play with it a little bit too, Jason?
I did.
What do you think?
The first time I put it on, sorry, I can't concentrate. I can't see anything. That's how cool these look, by the way. The first time I put it on, because it was just kind of hanging out on Father Robert's desk, and I was like, well, you don't just leave VR hanging out on your desk.
Yeah,
I'm
going to
play with it.
For trouble.
And when I put it on, I was kind of in the Microsoft lobby, whatever they call that. I saw Superhot flash by, and I was like, well, I guess I know what I'm doing tonight. Bought Superhot, played it for like an hour and a half. Absolutely loved it.
That's the shooting game where you're playing against kind of polygons. And
yes, exactly. And it's kind of Matrix style. But if you don't move at all, no action happens. Yeah, so it's all about like timing your movement, because as you move, things move faster. And I just had a blast. And I really love... I got to go through the whole process of setting up the room and setting up the boundaries and everything. I thought it was really well done.
Compare it to Nomadic.
Oh, well... They're just totally different things.
Yes. Okay.
You know what I mean? This is obviously way more accessible.
Right.
I actually really enjoyed it, but Nomadic just takes it to another level. Completely other level.
We're sitting here in these lovely chairs with a nice warm fire because I'm wearing my Everthirt jacket and I'm still freezing. No, it's cool in the studio. I don't know how you're surviving. I like this. I'm going to zip it up. It's time for our mailbag. Here we go.
Nice. What are we going to find in there?
Father Robert Scully.
Scully or Scully prototype.
Do you know who this is, Father Robert? Who's? Pardon me?
Yorick.
Alas, poor Yorick. I knew him, Horatio. A man of infinite jest. Well, we'll put him here. I thought this was the last Pixel XL2 bar.
Yeah, it looks like it.
Maybe it could be that, too.
That's what the display looks like. That fuzzy.
Yeah. Pick an email, any mail. All right, here we go.
All right.
You start.
Let's see here. So, email one. Hi, Leo and Jason. This is KJ. My dad was a World War II Army Signal Corps photographer.
Oh,
he took some iconic photos, such as the attached photo of President FDR.
Look at that.
With General Eisenhower at a Sicily airport.
Oh, wow, my gosh. That's fantastic.
That's awesome. He says, my mom has approximately 100 or more original photos and albums. As I am getting some interest from some museums and presidential libraries to display some of the photos, what do you suggest is the best, easy, and most cost-effective way I can send them to any interested party? Should I just scan them? How do I store them to easily email them out? Thank you so much. So on this question, I mean, I feel like there's a couple of facets to this, which is how do you scan them? Because when you're talking about libraries and museums, you want a high-quality scan. On photos, artifacts like this, you probably don't want to do like the Google app, the photo scan app, where you do the four corners with your phone. It's probably not going to be sufficient.
Many photo labs offer digital scanning, and you absolutely want to go with somebody who's worked with fine art quality scanning in the past. You don't want to damage the photos.
Right.
You want a high quality scan. I'll tell you why you want to scan them if you can, because paper doesn't last.
Yep.
I mean, it may be acid-free paper. It may last, but maybe not. And you don't want to lose these images. They're iconic. You also may want to distribute them more widely. And right now, you've got one print. Unless you have the negatives, you have that one print. You can't distribute it widely. You'll only be able to scan it and then make other copies and distribute it that way. So I guess, you know, a museum might want the original, in which case, you know, that's another matter. And that's the second part of your question. How would you ship the originals around? And I have friends who are fine art photographers who ship their portfolios. They'll make very high quality prints. They'll package them in a special box and they'll ship them. And you could certainly do that. But man, you might want to get these assessed.
Yeah.
You might want to get an art historian or a photography historian to look at them. These are not to, you know, this is a fabulous record, not only for you personally, but for the nation as a historic record. And I think the best thing you could do is get an archival, high-quality scan of those without damaging them. And again, if you find a good photo, there are good photo labs all over the country. You can, you know, ask photographers, even read their blogs and see who they use. Find a good photo lab that will understand how important this stuff is and take good care of it. You may want one that's near you so you can bring it in by hand.
Right.
This is
remove this is, any element that might, you know, possibly result in loss or damage along the way.
This is something very, very special.
Yeah.
You might also want to contact Getty Photos or one of the big photo rights sites. Getty's the biggest, but there are others. And see if there's some value to these in other forms as well. And at the very least, they may have some information about what you can do to preserve them. Because you really, this is, that photograph of Roosevelt and Eisenhower, that's an amazing thing to see. So
So once you have these scanned, let's say he does that and he has them scanned, he has these digital files. It sounds like he wants to be able to send the digital files easily.
That's easy.
Cloud.
That's a snap.
You know, that's any cloud service.
So really, getting these digitized is the first priority, and doing it right with a company that is going to handle them with care and treat them with the respect they deserve, that's going to be very, very important.
Yeah.
What a great treasure trove. You're very fortunate to have those. Probably you should ask some experts as opposed to us. but at the very least...
That's a really good point. Probably finding some professional photographers that have their own services that they've experienced and trust and, you know, referrals through their network. Like, I went online and there's a ton of different sites and services that you can send your photos and of different qualities. They can scan them. But I didn't think
that's
about that aspect.
This,
you want a level that's going to treat this with the utmost respect.
Yeah. And I don't think you want to scan it either. You can't afford the high-quality scanner. Those are very, very, very expensive.
No.
If you have the negatives, that's good news. If you don't, though, this is it. You really want to take good care of this. And somebody is suggesting the chat room is true. Probably should contact the National Archives, too. You want to find out who's interested in these photos. These are fantastic, really fantastic. I'm glad you found them. Hi, Screensavers, writes Steve. A few episodes ago, you were talking about security updates for Android. I have a dozen Android devices. Sounds like he's got more than you. Including, he says, the 2013 Note 8.
Which is a tablet. It was a tablet.
Oh, not the Galaxy Note 8 phone, the tablet.
Yeah, that always throws me off. Yeah, yeah. Samsung has had two different Note 8s.
That's confusing. There are a lot of app updates, but I've never seen anything that has to do with security. Ooh. Google Play Protect was also mentioned. That's supposed to be an option in the Play Store, but I checked it. I don't have that either. So what are those security updates? How do I get them?
It's a really great question. I mean, the tablet, just that one tablet, as your only example that you actually listed, is very old.
It's not
getting
updated
in update standards. I'm sure at some point it received some OS updates, but that could have even been before Google was doing regular security updates. They really only started that in the last 3 years, if memory serves. And this was 2013 model. So, you know, you got some updates when the system updated from whatever it shipped with to probably Gingerbread, I'm guessing. No, Jelly Bean. Looks like 4.1.
Holy cow.
So this is an old tablet. You're probably not going to get any security updates on that. And
this is why old Android devices are problematic.
Yeah.
They're vulnerable.
And so I don't know what other devices you do have, though, and whether they fall into the same deal.
The most recent update is the October security update. So you can go into about this phone in the settings, and you can see what the most recent patches and updates. Google now sends these out monthly. Only the Google devices have October, probably. But you should, most of my Samsung devices are at September.
Yeah.
But you are on older devices. You may not have any security updates.
Nah.
Now, Play Protect, that is two kind of things going on. One is they scan stuff in the store.
Mm-hmm.
So now when you go to an app in the store, if it's a scanned app, it'll say, you know, this has been scanned by Play Protect and it's okay. That's in the store. That's part of the store banner.
Right.
And then when you download apps, if you have an updated version of
Play Services.
Yeah. It will do that automatically for you, right?
Yes, absolutely. It's Google Mobile Services 11 or newer, and you can check that by going Settings, Apps, Google Play Services. Find that in the apps list. Look for the version number, and as long as it's 11 or more, you should have Play Protect. It's just automatically rolled out with that, so that should be integrated.
Not sure how different this is from the kind of scanning Google's been doing in the last couple of years.
I think they kind of rebranded it to a certain degree. Yeah. They're building more around that, but it's basically the same thing.
It may not say Play Protect, but your phone, if it's a late model Android phone, will be scanning periodically looking for... And what you also want is to continue to download from the Play Store. That's the safest, not third parties. And... Even if it's a couple of years old, it's probably scanning those downloads as they're going. If it's not, then you can go to a third party. There's Lookout Security is one that will scan it. And it's using pretty much the same technology to look for known vulnerabilities in an app. I just saw a new one at the event we went down to in San Francisco that looks pretty good, but I haven't tried it yet. And I can't remember the name, but I will find out. But it's a similar idea, although they're doing even more. They're examining all the internet activity that comes into your Android device and looking for even things like phishing scams.
Oh, wow.
And they can warn you before you open a phishing scam from your email or before you it fixes this cross-site scripting vulnerability that's in all Android phones because thanks to Facebook and the Android, what do they call it, bubbles?
Oh, the notification
dots? Messenger bubbles that pop up. Yes. Chat heads.
Yeah, the chat heads.
So thanks to chat heads, there's a feature in the Android operating system that allows one application to write over the screen of another. That's a huge security problem. And this program claims it can take care of that, too. I'll get you the information.
Yeah, I'm curious. I'm curious to know the overhead on that for the from the system.
They said it's very lightweight.
Okay.
Of course, that's the first thing I asked is, what's this going to do to my operating system?
Right.
But there are third-party, the point being, there are third-party solutions. Lookout's a very well-known one, very well-established. And it will scan. If you don't have, I would at least do that. If you don't have a late model Android system, at least have it scan the apps.
I should also mention, I mean, depending on how much work and heavy lifting you want to go through on these, sometimes it behooves you to go to a forum like XDA, see what kind of device support they have there, because a lot of times third-party developers, people creating these alternate ROMs for your device are taking current security updates and folding them in creative ways. And so, in essence, they're providing extended support for that hardware when the manufacturer has stopped years ago. So you might find some extra support there. Again, it takes a little bit of, you know, jumping through hoops in order to get those installed. Sometimes you might not even have anything to be able to install onto it. So it depends on how much work you want to go through, but that's another option.
Can you believe the time has flown?
No, I can't.
It's a fun day when Jason Howell is in the studio with us for the new Screensavers. And we had a wonderful studio audience.
Yeah.
Thank you for coming here. If you want to watch us do the show, we love having people in the audience in the studio. All you have to do is email tickets at twit.tv. We'll put a chair out for you. We are closed now on Mondays and Fridays. Before you come visit, make sure you email ahead of time because we don't always have the staff to give you a tour or anything like that. We need to know ahead of time. So make sure you email tickets at twit.tv. You can also watch us do the show live, any show we do. We stream all of our live production live at twit.tv/live. This particular show tends to be around 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern time, 2200 UTC on Saturdays. This is two more shows. This show and the next week will be at that time, and then of course, we go
right
over to off daylight saving time, and we'll fall back an hour, but we'll warn you about that next week because I have to do the math and figure out what time that means. It'll be, I think it's 2300 UTC. Let's see what else. Oh, if you can't watch live, I'll tell you that in a second. If you can't watch live, we do have on demand audio and video at our website twit.tv/nss, and you can use your favorite podcast application to subscribe. In fact, if I were you, I would. Just subscribe at Overcast or Pocket Cast or iTunes or the Android podcast app, whatever it is that you use. That way you get every single episode the minute it comes out. And Jerry's trying to remind me, and I almost forgot, that we have a best of episode coming up for the holidays. Yes, it's that time of year again, and we're once again putting together our best of episodes for all of our shows. If you have a moment that you remember from the new Screensavers or Twit or Windows Weekly, any of the shows, and there's something that happened that you went, oh, that was wild, you can submit it to our best of form. It's twit.tv/best of. It would help us greatly. I know we ask for a lot of crazy stuff like, you know, when and where and time, and but give us what you can. And if you don't know all that, that's fine. It's still helpful if you just let us know. Oh, you know that time when Leo did that? That was a good time. Even that will help. twit.tv/best of. Because we want to have a nice holiday episode prepared for you. We're actually going to have two holiday episodes because this show is on Christmas Eve and New Year's Eve, right? So for one of them, we will have our holiday shopping guide. It'll be last minute, last chance shopping guide. And then I guess that'll be Christmas Eve and then New Year's Eve. You'll have the best of show. You can catch Mr. Howell every Tuesday about 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern on All About Android. And he and Megan's new show, which is fantastic. Tech News Weekly is every Thursday. What time do you do that?
2:30 to 3:30 p.m. Pacific. Yeah.
And
we're
that,
having a lot of fun with that show.
We've done is we've taken Tech News Today. We've cut it, you know, boiled it down into a single show a week and really focused on the newsmakers and the news breakers in technology. People are discovering big stories and making things happen. And I've really enjoyed it. It is a really
awesome.
Good
Thank
show.
You.
Yeah.
Thank you. We're having a lot of fun talking to some really great people.
Well, that's the thing. And that was what we were hoping, because there's really no show where we can sit down with people who are really making news today. And this is the show, Thursdays, about 3 Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern time. And, of course, you can subscribe to it at twit.tv/TNW. TNW. Thanks for joining us, everybody. We're out of time. We'll see you next time on the new Screensavers. Bye-bye.
Bye, everyone.
Yeah.